Coming up on this episode of the MD and Chef Team Show.
Are you living young or living old? Because our lifestyle factors, when we pay attention to them, we can decide chronologically you're going to be a year older. But in that year older, biologically, is your body systems maybe only a month older?
Welcome to the show from the MD and Chef Team. I'm Dr. Isabel, medical doctor here at the MD and Chef Team. And who are you?
And I'm Chef Michael, culinary nutrition expert. I'm the chef part of the team.
And what are we going to talk about, babe? Now, I can say that because he's my husband.
Yes. Well, then we'll be talking about marriage, relationships, parenting, intimacy.
Ooh.
We'll talk about mindsets of success, overcoming depression, anxiety. I'll be getting into functional nutrition, recipes and tips from the kitchen. And we're going to both get into how to live a long, healthy, vibrant life.
Yes, I love it. Our mission is to help you prevent and reverse disease and give you hope in the process. Oh, yeah, we like to have fun, too. So let's get on with the show.
Hello, and welcome to the MD and Chef Team podcast. Well, you got Chef Michael here today. I'm flying solo. Dr. Isabel's got a few other things on the go, so I thought I would jump in today because I have something very, well, it's dear to my heart today, as I want to share with you on this podcast. So today we're going to talk about, is aging a disease? Why do I bring this up? Well, recently, the World Health Organization has classified aging as a disease. Now think about that. Aging as a disease. That is very interesting. Well, why is that? Well, you know, when Isabel and I are out and about a lot of times and people might see us walking or hiking or maybe doing some training outside, some type of exercise, or we just talk, end up talking in conversation, they might say to us, well, what are you training for? And we'll say, well, we're training for 100 years young and healthy. And as Isabel would always add on, yes, yeah, sexy and toned for each other. And they just look at you and we'll say, yeah, we're training for 100 years young and healthy. And we usually get the response, so like, 100 years old. Oh my gosh. Why would anyone want to live to be 100 years old? Oh my gosh, no way. If I can get to 70, maybe 80, man, I'm happy with that. I'm good. And I'm just wondering, well, why do people say that? I mean, why wouldn't you want to be around longer for if you've got kids, grandkids, your significant others, your spouses, your partners, family, enjoying the world, enjoying your time? You know, I mean, you've probably gone at it really hard for the first who knows how long, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. I mean, enjoying life in those later years. So why do people just kind of go, oh, no, I wouldn't want to go that long? Well, I believe the reason is in the research. And the research shows now that the average person for the last 20% of their life will be living it in poor health. And by poor health, I mean just fatigue and low energy, aches, pains, frequent doctor and hospital visits, loss of muscle, mobility issues, you know, falling and trips and hurting and breaking bones and memory loss and digestive issues and all these things going on, just living in poor health. And so research shows that people now on average are doing that. That is the last 20% of people's lives. So if you live to be 80, that means from the age of 64 to 80, you are living in poor health that last 16 years. Well, I believe that's the reason why people look at that type of age or even beyond to go, oh my gosh, no. Oh, you know, I already got aches and pains and all this stuff going on. I'm taking so many pills and medications for things. I'm at the doctor so many times a year. They're just getting tired of it, and they're living in poor health, and their quality is just so poor. So what I want to talk about in this podcast and this is so dear to me, and I'll talk about why in a moment. Are you living young or are you living old? Because that's the question we need to be looking at ourselves. Living young or living old? And it's got a lot to do with our chronological aging, which is our calendar age. By the calendar, we all age a day at a time, a week at a time, a month at a time, and a year at a time. That's our chronological age. When you're 80, you're 80. When you're 50, you're 50. That's chronologically. But it's the biological aging. I want to explain a little bit about that. It's the biological aging that is the most important factor that we need to be paying attention to. Because we can age slowly. You could, in a year, you could age a month biologically. Why? Because you're living young. You're not living old. On the flip side of that, you might have chronologically aged a year, but biologically, you might have aged 3 years because of lifestyle factors. And we'll talk about that in a bit. So what do I mean by biological age? Well, biological age is basically everything under your skin. What's going on inside of you biologically? How are your body organs aging? How are your muscles aging, your bones aging, your brain aging? Everything inside your skin, how is that aging? Is it aging quickly? Or is it aging really slowly? Because that is up to us. That's the real key. When we talk, Isabel and I here at Doctor on a Mission and the MD and Chef team, we talk about being the CEO of your health. That's what I mean, taking control of your health. Now, I'll give you an example. This isn't about Isabel and I, hey, look at us, because I can tell you it was a mess many years ago, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But recently, you know, we get our body composition done every 6 months or so. Basically, I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible, but body composition, you can go like maybe a fitness center or a gym. They have all these really fancy things now that you can do, and basically, they are going to put you through a series of tests. It's not a big deal. Doesn't take that long. But the electronic monitoring is going to check your biological age, what's going on inside of you, and it's going to give you a whole bunch of numbers. And the important stuff is like your body fat percentage, not your weight, but your body fat percentage, your muscle mass. You have good muscle mass. Is your bone density good? Are your bones strong? I'm just thinking what's some of the good ones we're looking at? Hydration levels. What's your hydration level? What's your visceral fat? Visceral fat is that bad fat that's around our waistline, that's around our organs, which can compress on our organs and age our organs quickly. It'll give you measurements on that. And plus many, many more, depending on the type of system you go to. But then at the end of it, it will give you a biological age. Now, for Isabel and I, we had that done recently. It might have been a month or so ago. I mean, I don't know when you listened to this. So, you know, this is kind of early 2024. We had this done for our first time for this year. And I'm 66 years young chronologically, but my biological age was 51. Now, this system that we went to and used at the local gym only goes 15 years below your chronological age or 15 years above your chronological age. So we pushed it as far as we could go. But at chronologically 66, I have a biological age of 51. That's fantastic. That makes me happy. Isabel's was the same. She's 64. She had a biological age of 49. That's very exciting. Now, some of the systems will go up to 20 years either way. Now, on the flip side of that, back when I was around 50 years, and I won't say 50 years young, I said 66 years young, which I am now. But back then I was 50 years old, because when I was 50 years old, biologically, my age was about 65, because I had a lot of problems going on. I had cognitive issues. I had a lot of pains, back pains, aches, pre-diabetes, very overweight. You could have called me obese, but I was definitely overweight, high body fat, high visceral fat. My muscle mass was decreasing very quickly. I was not doing very well. So over the last 15 years, now it doesn't take 15 years, but for me personally, over the last 15 years, I flipped that around 30 years. Well, that's what we can do. And that's what I mean by saying, are you living young or living old? Because our lifestyle factors, when we pay attention to them, we can decide chronologically, you're going to be a year older, but in that year older, biologically, is your body systems maybe only a month older, or maybe they're actually 2 or 3 years older if you're getting old quick. And that's how we have control of it. And so when I talk about living to 100 years young and healthy, it's really about, well, I might be chronologically 100, but maybe by the time I get there, I'm biologically 80. I don't know what the systems are. Maybe we can go 25 under. Maybe I'm biologically 75 when I get to be 100. That's really up to me, and that's in my control. So let's talk about a couple things we can do. One of the things is what contributors age us. I'm going to keep this one a little bit short because, like I said, I'm flying solo today, but I'll keep it a little short, and you can check into this in more detail at drinemission.com and learn more about us. And we've got all these types of this information on our website. But one of the things is an inflammatory diet. And that's really just eating processed frankenfoods. I call it frankenfoods. You might have heard the term. I'm not the one who came up with it. I've just heard it before too, and I love it. It's like Frankenstein the monster. It was created in a laboratory, a supposed human that was created out of parts. And this is processed frankenfoods. Frankenfoods are foods that are created in a lab out of not real food, chemicals, and all kinds of other things. Maybe there's some particles of real food that have been processed and churned up and ground up and mixed with a whole bunch of other stuff and things that have numbers on it and colors and dyes and all of this other stuff. But we got to stay away from processed frankenfoods. One of the things I suggest is reading labels. Learn to read food labels. Learn to read the label and see what's on the label. Because so many times you can see when you actually decide to read the label, you go, oh my gosh, look at all the stuff that's in here. As that's one of the things I started doing probably at least 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, I thought I'm going to start reading labels. And as I started reading labels, I'd look at the packaging and the marketing and the lovely words it said on there, like organic and natural and healthy and all this great stuff. But then I read the labels and I'm going, my gosh, what I thought was great because of the marketing, which the marketing did what it's supposed to do on the product, on the packaging. But when I read the labels and see what's actually in there and the ingredients, I can't even pronounce most of these words. They got numbers to them. They got chemical compounds to them. And there's like 15 to 30 ingredients in this thing. I'm thinking, wait a second. A carrot is an ingredient. When I have a carrot, when I have broccoli, broccoli is an ingredient. I don't need foods that have like 15 to 30 ingredients on. I got to stay away from that kind of stuff. So that's one of the things I would say for a contributor that ages as quickly is watch out for inflammatory foods, processed frankenfoods, keep those out of your diet, and that'll really help you out. And the other is sedentary lifestyle. We got to keep moving. We got to keep the body moving, especially as we age, because from the age of 30 on, every decade, we lose around 3 to 8% of our muscle mass. So to keep that up, we've got to have resistance workout. I never really understood, okay, yeah, I could walk, I could jog and do other things, but I didn't really understand about resistance, whether I'm using resistance bands or free weights or weights or gym weights, whatever it may be. But we need to have resistance exercise at least 3 times a week. to keep up our strong, keep our muscles strong and keep them, keep our mobility strong, keep our stability strong as we age and keep that up. It is so, so important to not have a sedentary lifestyle where we're just not moving around. And and one of the things I think in today's society we miss so much is resistance workouts. So that's another thing you want to look at. Okay, am I doing resistance in my training during the week? Because it is so, so important, especially beyond the age of 30. It's not, you know, oh, 35, I don't have to think about that. Well, actually, from 30 to 40, that decade, you're going to lose 3 to 8% of your muscle mass. It's already starting to happen. So you might want to start early as you can. And if you haven't, and no matter what age you are, you can pick it up now, because I picked it up in my 50s. Hey, if you're 75 and you haven't done any resistance, well, there's plenty of what's called senior workouts on YouTube, and they use very light weights, and you can get started. But get started, work on your legs. Leg strength is amazing. You want to do squats and lunges. That's great. Isabel and I talk about doing 100 squats a day, 5 days a week, and work on that leg strength. Very, very important.
How would you like to feel a sense of clarity, focus, and mental sharpness that enables you to tackle any challenge with ease? Can you envision experiencing better memory and recall, allowing you to easily remember important details, names, and events? What could you accomplish if your mental energy is always up and allowing you to stay alert and productive throughout the day without feeling that mental fatigue or fogginess? How great would it feel when you experience better quality of sleep, allowing your brain to rest and recharge, leading to increased productivity and creativity? Imagine feeling a sense of calmness and control, allowing you to manage stress and anxiety with ease, giving you the confidence to handle any situation. Be honest with yourself. When was the last time you experienced an overall sense of well-being and satisfaction? You see, your brain health positively impacts all areas of your life, from work to relationships and personal growth. Just visualize how amazing it will feel to have optimal brain health and unlock your full potential. If you want to learn more, and I know you do, then check out the link in the show notes below for the Healthy Brain Club. And we look forward to seeing you there. And now back to the rest of the show.
Another one is adequate sleep. If we have inadequate sleep, that is a contributor to aging fast. By adequate sleep, I mean 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep is what we need. That is what we need. We actually rest is what our brain and our body and our body organs need to be doing at nighttime. They need to actually be resting. We need that 7 to 9 hours. It actually, what it does is our body systems rest, they actually repair, and they rebuild overnight. That's when the systems now have the opportunity to say, okay, and I'm really not getting technical on this, I'm keeping it very simple, but our body systems are repairing all the things that have happened to us during the day, as far as things that might have gotten in, the toxins we might have. We're detoxifying overnight. Our body systems are repairing, they're resting, and they're restoring, and especially our brain, so that in the morning, okay, the body systems say, we're ready to go. Now, what's happened is the invention of the light bulb, which, you know, light and electricity is amazing. It's so beautiful. But we've lost what's called the circadian rhythm, which was the natural sunset. Before there was light bulb, the natural sunset of us getting tired, the body creating melatonin, the mind going to sleep. And then in the morning, sunrise, oh, melatonin goes down, we wake up, we get going. Well, now we have no sunset. Yes, there's a natural sunset of the sun setting and getting dark. But our surroundings, wherever we are at home or wherever we may be, it doesn't get dark until we turn everything off. What happens is, for most of us, we have no shall I say, downtime, or we don't kind of slow things down, at least for the last hour to 2 hours of the day, where we start to slow things down, darken it down a little bit, wind it down, so that our body starts to realize, oh, I think we're winding it down for the end of the day. We are just going, 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 going. Okay, I'm turning everything off, and now I'm going to go to bed, and I'm expecting just to fall asleep. It doesn't work that way. You might think you're asleep, but the mind is still going. It's going, it's going, it's going. And if you're somebody that's waking up a lot during the night, you might want to look at what your sleep hygiene is before you go to bed. We do have a bunch of podcasts on that here at the MDHF team. You can see that in some podcasts. And also, we've got some information on the Doctor in a Mission website, where Dr. Isabel is an expert in sleep. And because she had her own sleeping problems and had to deal with that, and she sought the research, and she also tried a lot of things for herself and realized, okay, there's a lot of sleep hygiene that needs to happen so we get good 7 to 9 hours of sleep, because that proper sleep will help age you slowly. Another one is our social environment. Do you socialize? And I don't mean just being a social butterfly. Hey, I'm going out all the time and partying and this and that. No, I mean like good, healthy relationships. And do you have hobbies? Do you have the hobbies that release stress? Because social environment is a stress release, because we all have stress in our lives. It's just the way it works. But do you have stress release? So at times, maybe you're going for a walk with a friend, you know, in nature, and you're talking. Okay, that's a stress release. Maybe you have a workout buddy, and that's your stress release. Maybe it's a friend you catch up for a coffee once a week or something. It might be a church group that you're involved in. You sit around and you have a good talk and a good prayer time for an hour or two. It's a stress release. Maybe it's a yoga group you get together and you have a stress release. Maybe it's a business community that you get together with, and you might talk business for a little bit, but then out of that, you're just sitting down, you're talking as people, and hey, how's your family going? So I'm talking about good relationships that allow you to release stress, and that social environment is very, very important. We don't want to just hide away, and that's one of the things that the pandemic did around the world was a lot of people got stressed out because they lost that social connection. So we want to get back into making sure we have a social connection, because it is a stress release, and also having some hobbies that maybe you share with others, or you get involved with groups that have hobbies, whatever it may be. Maybe it's a walking group or a cycling group, or, you know, maybe it's a boating group. I don't know. There's so many different things you could be doing, and very, very important. Another one is gut health. Now, understanding, I'm not going to take too much of a dive into gut health, but gut health, one of the things we have to be careful of is just taking too many things. Well, one of the things is the frankenfoods I talk about really mess up our gut health. And gut health is directly connected to brain health. And when our gut health is off, it can throw out all of our body system. So to have a good quality gut health, yes, there's a lot of things involved, but, you know, keeping away from those frankenfoods will help. Keeping eating more clean, natural foods will help. Also, being careful of taking even over-the-counter drugs, just like a normal aspirin. If you're somebody that's having headaches all the time, or aches and pains all the time, and you have to take aspirin and painkillers all the time, well, yes, if it happens maybe once every 6 months or so, and you just have to take it for 24 hours, okay. But I'm talking about somebody who's chronically needing these things, that they have to be taking painkillers, whether, like I said, for a headache or aches and pains, arthritis, whatever it is, and you're constantly having to take them. That's really messing up your gut health. And you need to be looking at long term, okay, what's causing this problem that I'm having, that I have to constantly take these over-the-counter medications and drugs. That's the key, is going upstream and looking at, well, what's causing this? Because you don't want to go with those things long-term. They're really going to mess up your gut health. which will really mess up your body systems. So that's just something to look at with gut health. And antibiotics, things like antacid drugs, those types of things. You want to be very, very minimal with that. Of course, they've got their place that they need to be used. But again, we just want to be aware of using too much. And then another one I just want to bring up briefly is what's called toxins. Please keep in mind that anything you put on your skin, our largest organ of our body is our skin. So anything you put on your skin goes into your body. So if you are using a lot of toxic products, and even if it's laundry detergent, I'm sure, we never thought about this before, but even if it's laundry detergent and it's on your clothes and it's highly chemicalized and it's got a lot of smells to it and it's against your body's soaking that up. So everything from anything you're using on your skin, your body, your antiperspirants, any kind of makeups, moisturizers, you know, laundry detergents, all these different things that can be touching your skin and you could be smelling around the house, just know that that's going in. And here's some of the newest research that kind of is scary, but it just shows us how much we've all been taking on these toxins and growing and growing and growing as the years have gone on. The research shows that now an average newborn baby has 207 chemicals in the umbilical cord, blood when being born. 207 chemicals in the umbilical cord blood when being born with a newborn. That's a lot of chemicals already that that child didn't ask for, but they're there. Now, I'm not slamming any, you know, the pregnant mom for that. But what I'm saying is we've got to be aware that everything that goes on us is going in us. So we just want to be thinking about, all right, when I'm putting that on me or I'm spraying that on me or I'm using that on me, I need to kind of read the label and look at the chemicals. And is there an alternative? And here's the key. Is there an alternative that would be better for me, that's more natural, that I'm not going to be getting a lot of these chemicals coming into me? Maybe there's something, a better alternative, and you can look that up. I know there's a lot of websites. I don't currently have that. I apologize for that. There's a lot of websites you can look up out there that will give you more natural, organic type products in all areas of everything you use that are going to be much better for you. So that's something you want to look into. So what I've been talking about there, what are the contributors? And those were just a few. There's many more, but they're all the lifestyle causes of what contributors age us and what do we need to be looking at? Because here's the key. Are you living young or are you living old? Are you looking at your chronological age or your biological age? Your biological age is the number that counts. Not the chronological age, because I know there's many of you, seen many people out there that you might see two 60-year-olds, and one you look at going, oh my gosh, are they 60 or are they 40? They look like they're 40. I mean, they look amazing and they're in great shape and their skin looks good because, you know, when the inside is good, the outside looks good. So I'm not talking about beauty. I'm talking about because the biological age is good, that it comes through them looking good on the outside. Or is that 60-year-old looking like they're 80 and you're thinking, oh my gosh, is that person 80? No, they're only 60. Living young or living old. I'm going to leave that with you. This has been culinary nutrition expert Chef Michael here at the MD and Chef Team podcast. Lying solo today. Thank you for joining me and we'll catch you again on the next show that we come back to you. And if you like what we're up to here, please share, like, subscribe, all those good things. God bless you and have an amazing, amazing day, week, month, and year. We love you. Bye for now. Hello, Chef Michael here. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review.